I'm Ruthie, host of Out There, here on Valley Free Radio. Tune in for stories from the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond, Fridays from 4 to 5 p.m. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if we live out of date. We
don't care if we're a little bit late. And welcome to Out There. I'm Ruthie Woodring. As that clip said, you know, every time when I go from, like, live, there's a minute, moment of panic. Time, you know, time keeps on ticking, whether you're ready or not. Now, my excuse for not being totally with it this time is I got to the studio at 3:44, a little later than I wanted to, and I come in and I pull out my bag of thumb drives to play my clips and for the recordings I have for today, and whoa, it's not there. Oh, shoot, I left it at home in the computer. Well, fortunately, I'm only a four-minute bike ride away, I found out, if I get the green light on Chestnut and Main. So I made it back in the studio at 3:58. All right, thanks for tuning in to Out There today. For today's show, I have a celebration of the PVTA being free. Free bus rides all around the valley from now until the end of December. Here's Weird Al while I get my head on straight. That's enough of that, because that's exactly the kind of attitude about the bus that I want to counter. All right, so I have interviews with my friend now, a bus rider. So yeah, I can interview with my friend now from Holyoke and interview with Alex Jarrett from Florence. Alex told me today that he and his partner, I'm not sure who all went, took a bus ride today from, they took the R44. Let's see if I was paying attention. I think they took the R44 downtown, and then they got on the Neshawanak Express and took it to East Hampton, had a little lunch in East Hampton. Then they took the R41 up into Holyoke, had a little more lunch, and then the R23, something like that, to, now where was it? Somewhere else. And then what did they do? Maybe they caught the B48 back to Northampton, and then the Survival Center Express to the Survival Center, and then they walked back home up the bike path to Florence. And Alex was home when I left for work this morning, and he was home when I got home, so they did all that. Man, the bus is quick is what I'm saying. All right, here is now.
So now you're a regular bus rider. Why do you take the bus? Or, like, how what are your transportation options and choices, and among them, how do you choose?
Where I can walk, I can ride a bike, and I can take bus. I don't have a car, so those are my three top choices. And I like bus because it has a roof. I don't get wet. I also like bus. It's comfortable. I can read a book. I can meet someone. I'm also not a good buster. I mean, not a good driver. So I like, you know, giving someone else a responsibility to drive well and pay attention to the road. And then I just like that those the image of different people riding in the same bus, going somewhere together, maybe not the same destination, but similar direction. And then, yeah, meeting people, talking to people, sometimes sitting quietly, just observing people.
Yeah. Do you have any bus routes that that are your favorite or that you take the most?
P20 and B48. And all the bus drivers in those routes, you know, I know them very well. And, you know, I like them a lot. And also the regulars who ride on these buses, I know them well too. And, you know, I don't know them, everybody by name, but yeah, I enjoy that ride with them. Yeah.
How often do you take the bus?
B48 is once a week, and then P20 like 3-4 times a week. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And where do you go when you take the bus?
I go to work with P20, or I go to grocery shopping with P20. B48, I go to Northampton for peace vigil, and you know, some other things. I think that's basically it. Sometimes I will also take R29 to go to South Hadley, Amherst.
What about taking the bus with a child? You've done that a lot too.
Oh yeah, that's very good, because when I'm driving a car, I cannot pay attention to to child very much. But when I'm in a bus, we can do so many things. We can talk, we can do a cat cradle, we can make drawing, we can make origami, we can talk, we can make story, we can play game, many more.
So you live in Holyoke, you're a doctor. It makes me also think of Marty Nathan, who's a doctor that would ride the bus a lot.
Yeah.
There's a situation on the bus once when you and Marty were there. Can you describe that a little bit?
Actually, I wasn't there, but I think she wrote in a paper that she was in a bus and suddenly she saw another passenger overdosing. So she had a knock on. She asked the bus driver to stop the bus, and she, you know, used the knock on to revive the passenger. And they called the ambulance, and the patient was saved. And the Marty Nathan, I think yesterday, Saturday, they had unveiling of Marty's grave, tombstone. I'm not pretty sure about that culture. I'm not familiar with it, but I think it's to commemorate Marty, and we should continue, you know, remembering Marty.
Yeah, that was probably November 26, 2022, I think. Today's the 27th, November 27th. I like one of the things I like about that story is how important it is for a wide variety of people to be on the bus so they can help each other.
Marty could, she was going from Northampton to Springfield Clinic. So she had to make probably like one or two transfer. And then she was also taking her bike. She had breast cancer and then, you know, had a metastasis to brain, I believe. And she was doing this, you know, a few years before she really stopped working. So, yeah, she's something admirable.
I feel like there's a lot of class prejudice against taking the bus. What do you think?
And I think that's a part of the reason that I want to take a bus, because you will meet the people whom you don't meet at your work, or, you know, your friends or the people who you usually hang out with. I think that's a great opportunity to meet some people.
So another reason people don't take the bus is because it seems too inconvenient or it takes too long. And how do we define convenience, or like certain things take up time? Does it it works for you. Mm-hmm. It's not too inconvenient?
No, it's not at all to me. And also, I don't know, to me, like, always, like, technology or tools should be used for someone who needs it. And how we use it, we have to be careful. I think if I'm dependent on so much cars, I won't be healthy, you know? Mm-hmm. I will not be walking. I'll be parking to as close to that where you can get to, you know, like door to door. I don't think that's healthy for me. Convenience and efficiency, even though sometimes I would like to have those, but it's not my first thing I want in my life, yeah.
But doesn't not having a car limit where you can go and when you can go places?
Sometimes, but now, like, I think we have more choices where to go. And I think we are able to get around so many places. You just told me we can go to Ulster by PBTA bus. And I think actually you also will discover some places by taking public transportation. You will get to the place where you never think of if you are just buying, you know, going by car from one spot to destination. We will be able to enjoy places along the way if you are using public transportation, I think.
Well, when I look at where you and I just took a walk to today, we couldn't have gone to any of those places with a car.
Definitely, yeah, that's not true. Yeah, those are places, yeah, we will never be able to, yeah.
Someone was telling me about the subdivision somewhere where there were two houses that shared a back fence, but to get by road from one house to the other, because of the cul-de-sacs and stuff, it was 7 miles.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, you know, that parking space, too. It's hard for me to think that we have so many homeless people, and then we have so many places for cars. Yeah. That's something difficult to, you know, conceive, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. At Smith College Art Museum once had this really cool display that was like a car cover, like a tent tarp kind of thing in the shape of a car, like a fancy car, that you would, like, say a car was parked in a parking space, you could put it over it. But in fact, it was a real tent that looked like a car, so you could live in a parking space, and people, that's just a car, that's okay.
Oh my God. Well, I would want to see that, yeah.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. That was an interview with Nao Sakurai, friend of mine from Holyoke. Her story about Marty Nathan on the B-48 and all reminded me of another friend of mine who used to take the bus. So he was actually a judge in Northampton, but because of narcolepsy, he wasn't able to drive. And so he was working at the courthouse in Holyoke, and so he would commute on the B-48, but he would always wear, like, sunglasses and a hat pulled down, like a hoodie, so people wouldn't recognize him. And then he would, like, often overhear conversations on the bus of people that were going to come before him in the courtroom later that day or whenever. This is WXOJ, Valley Free Radio. I'm on the B-48 to Holyoke. Free buses from now until the end of December. Hoping that will encourage people to take public transit. You know what people say. According to surveys, 98% of Americans think other people should take public transit. Well, we're super lucky in the Valley to have the PVTA. It's a really amazing transit system in my experience, based on what I've experienced in other places that I've lived. And there are 4 people on the bus right now. 5. And the bus has a capacity of 34 seats plus lots of standing room and wheelchair space that some of the seats can be folded up for. So anyway, when you see the buses going around and they're mostly empty, I think, why aren't more people not taking the bus? The roads are full of cars. Why aren't more of those people on the bus? And then I also think about the wasted capacity. But in terms of wasted capacity, I mean, you could, I mean, like in terms of like money set aside, resources set aside to provide an infrastructure that could be used to meet human needs. Well, it's like, well, you look at the roads, you could say all the empty parking lots, all the empty roads, that's wasted capacity. All the houses that only have a few people in them and empty bedrooms or rooms that are empty because one person is in the other room. You know, you're in the kitchen and the bedroom's empty, or you're in the bedroom and the kitchen is empty. I guess there's so many different ways you could think about wasted capacity. But specifically, I was thinking about, you know, the roads. Like, we spend all this money on creating this infrastructure for transportation, and so many lanes. How different is it to say that a bus that's not full is more of a waste than a highway that's not full, or a parking lot that's not full? I mean, a parking lot or highway that was full would be even worse for the environment and the community. But a bus that's full would be great. So fill those buses. Another way to look at it is every car you see that's got one driver in it, that's wasted capacity. I mean, one person in it. Every car with one person in it, that's wasted capacity. How come I'm not always looking at those and being like, what a shame, what a shame. All those resources towards moving that vehicle and there's hardly anybody in it. I was hoping to interview someone on the bus, but everybody's got headphones on and they're on their devices. I'm on my device. I just don't have headphones on. It's like the American way of life. We just come to accept waste as normal, like horrendous amounts of waste. Gosh, I mean, don't get me started on the military-industrial complex and like military waste, but just like household waste, business waste. For example, water waste, like if, like taking a shower or bath and running the cold water right down the drain until you get to the warm water. In my house, we save it in a bucket for flushing the toilet. Or me personally, I just have a bucket that when I get in the shower, I turn the knob to hot and I fill up the bucket, and the first quarter is cold, and then the second two quarters are hot, and then I have a bucket of perfectly warm, hot temperature water that then I can ladle bathe. what do you call it? Scoop bathe? Well, I have a pitcher that I pour the water over my body with, and then I can, everything's perfect temperature. I don't get scalded and I don't get frozen and I don't waste water. I have a couple people in my close circles who are, upon doctor's recommendations, taking hot baths every night, and I calculated that's like flushing the toilet 50 times that night with hot water. Like, seriously, if someone in my household was just like standing there flushing the toilet repeatedly for like an hour with hot water, gosh, that would get really annoying. But it's like a bath is sort of, I don't know, accepted. I mean, I don't know what I'm recommending. I guess I'm like, can't you use like a heating pad or something part of the time? Or can't doctors recommend something else?
Next on Out There, I have an interview with my housemate, Alex Jarrett.
So it's Thursday evening, December 1st, 2022. And Alex here, he's the one that informed me that the PBTA was free from the day after Thanksgiving until the end of December. And Alex, you also handed me a printout of all of the PVTA routes. Did you count how many there are?
I did, but I've forgotten, but it's 40-some.
Yeah. And you said you're planning on taking all of these in this next month, the free period?
Yeah, I hope to. I have only taken a few of them so far, but I'd love to explore all the other places that the PVTA goes to. There's so many towns like Agawam that I've never really gone to. You can take it out to Palmer and Ware, and there's an express that goes to a prison. So there's lots of interesting places that I'd love to explore.
How many have you taken so far?
3, maybe.
So that's like 40 some left to take in 30 days. How are you going to do it?
Well, probably go on big looping trips. Uh-huh. So, for example, go to Westfield, and just that will take care of, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, something like that. yeah. If we can, you know, catch all of the different at Westfield State shuttle, and there's all sorts of little shuttles too. Like there's the Northampton Survival Center shuttle that only runs when the Survival Center is open on certain days, but you can take it from downtown to the Survival Center.
Huh. I didn't know that. I know they had tried that Survival Center route at one point, the crosstown route, but that was temporary. What do you like to do when you're on the bus, the local bus?
Well, I can read on the bus, but I also like to look out the windows and look at the people and sometimes even talk to people.
So, Alex, I was going to ask you why you think supporting the bus is so important. But then I also want to ask you, is riding the bus and not paying anything because it's free supporting it?
Yeah, I think so, because it's going to show how much support, you know, there is for the bus. And I think more people will be riding it, both because it's free, but also it should actually be faster, because it takes a lot of time for everyone to put in their fare. And when you just have to walk on, then the buses are going to run faster. So fares kind of suck in a lot of ways because, of course, you know, you have to pay, and for some that's difficult, and then it slows it down, and then you have to worry about fare evasion. You have to pay for the system has to pay for all the fare box collection mechanisms, and it's not that great a portion of the total cost of the transit anyway. So anyway, I think it'll show a support for bus travel.
And also, when there's no fares, you can get on both doors as well instead of just the front door.
Right. Though I'm not. They might want you to go in the front door because they are counting.
Oh.
You know,
okay.
Hear them pushing the button every time someone goes by. So they want to know how many people. I think buses, so trains are great, and of course I love trains and have traveled extensively on trains, but trains are best when you want to carry a lot of people a longer distance. Uh-huh. And usually not so frequently, unless you have a lot. You need a lot of people to run frequent trains. Mm-hmm. But with the bus, you can run frequent service without and not have to have as many people. And the frequency is really the key, and it's something we're pretty much lacking here. Except I would say they say every 15 minutes is kind of the minimum frequency that you want for to be considered a frequent service. And the only one I know of is that the some of the buses in Amherst, the 30 bus and maybe the 31 at times, runs every 15 minutes. And that, because at that frequency, you don't really worry about whether you're going to catch it or not, because you just go and then you wait for the next one. Yeah. But less than that, like, you know, all the service up here in Florence is hourly or less. The R44 is every 70 minutes, although it runs in a loop in two different directions. So you could conceivably catch it in in the same direction and get to the same point, but I mean in different directions and get to the same point. But an hourly means, you know, you have to wait around a lot potentially in between, or if you miss it, you have to wait a whole hour. And I generally, because I usually don't have a really strict schedule to adhere to, so, you know, if I'm downtown, wait in between buses, I'll go to the bookstore and hang out in the library. There's lots of things to do in downtown, where most of the bus connections are in Northampton. So I kind of like the kind of more relaxed nature of the different things that it allows you to do or encourages you to do while you're waiting. But it would work a lot better. A lot more people would use it if it was very frequent. But we have built our whole development patterns, for the most part, are not built along corridors that would allow for, you know, dense development along a corridor allows a bus or a train that really works well. And a lot of our development patterns are not dense enough to support frequent bus service, at least not with the unless, you know, it was really difficult to use another method like driving.
Can you talk about the space that cars take up and like this book you're reading? What is the book you're reading?
I'm reading a couple of books right now. I just finished reading Better Buses, Better Cities, which is specifically about the bus, as opposed to other transit methods like light rail or long distance rail or subways, etc. And so it really talks about the flexibility of the bus and how you can create a grid system, and if it's frequent enough, then you know you go along the north-south axis and then you switch to an east-west wherever you want to, and you never have to wait very long at your transfer point because there's always another one coming, and how well that really works. And then I'm also reading Trains, Buses, People, An Opinionated Atlas of U.S. Transit, which I've just started, but it's all about kind of the larger, the 30-some largest metropolitan areas and the different transit systems they have. And but what they're all pretty big cities, and I'm trying to look at our area and figure out, you know, what changes could we make here that would increase ridership, given the resources that we have, and the population densities that we have. You know, where are the best places? And so I'm just curious. I'm not sure, without a big investment, whether there would be, we could really get increased ridership that much.
So in terms of reasons that people choose other options over the bus, reasons people don't ride the bus, you mentioned that like the lack of frequency makes it a little challenging. Other reasons?
Does it go where you need to go, and when you need to go? I think that's the biggest. Is it safe? We know that buses are incredibly safe in terms of traffic crashes. Like, you're so much safer being on a bus, even without a seatbelt, than you are in a private car, or biking, or walking. It's much, much safer. But then there's also the issue of crime and perception of safety as well. Do you feel safe? And so a bus has to achieve all those things. It also has to be affordable and relatively easy to use in terms of the fare system and the shelter system. You know, do you have protection from the weather while you're waiting? Do you have good, does it come on time? And, you know, can you, is there real-time information so that you know, say, if it's running late, that, oh, I can go do something else because I have a few more minutes and you're not actually waiting during that time.
You're listening to an interview with Alex Jarrett, my housemate and also Fifth Ward City Councilor here in Northampton. This interview was from yesterday. Also a bus rider, as you can tell. I have more interview with Alex coming up, but first, a musical interlude. That was the Staples Singers. I remember listening to a podcast not too long ago about transportation, and they had interviewed a black man from a urban area about how much he loved his car, and just made me think about, yeah, like if you don't have choices, if you don't have the freedom to go where you want to go, and then you can get it with a car, then why are you going to take the bus? Yes. Anyway, all right, back to Alex.
So when you take the bus, who do you see riding the bus in terms of, like, demographics?
It depends on the bus. Yeah. You know, if you take the R42, there's a lot of folks who live or visit the VA hospital in Leeds. There's, you know, kind of a variety of folks, younger, older, folks. I don't exactly know their purpose for riding the bus, but I would say, you know, are they going to school? Yeah. Are they, traveling to, but so the R42 is a relatively quick bus trip between Williamsburg and Northampton. It runs once an hour, which is certainly not frequent enough, but, you know, if you get on here in Florence, you're downtown in 10 minutes, and it's very quick. And so it's usually, you know, a lot of people will transfer then to other buses, to Holyoke, to East Hampton, to Amherst, to Springfield. And but if you ride the R44 bus, which makes a loop and goes to between a lot of public housing and shopping centers and downtown and a jail, and then I think you see a lot more people who are going to go shopping, for example, at Big Y, or visit their relatives at the jail, or, you know, it's what's called a lifeline service. It's service that's more generally, more heavily used by folks who don't have another option of mobility, including maybe walking or biking, mm-hmm. as well mm-hmm. as cars. And so that's an important service to have. Every transit agency needs to balance, you know, trying to get the maximum ridership with making sure to meet the needs of folks who don't have other options. And if you can maximize, you know, if you're trying to maximize ridership, you're going to try to look at the population and where people live and where they need to go, and run a line along there as frequent as you can. Mm-hmm. And then everyone's going to use that, mm-hmm. Whether or not they have other options.
In terms of fast routes, we can give a shout out to the B48 from Northampton to Holyoke. That's a fast route. And also the G73 Express Northampton to Springfield.
Yeah, that one is especially fast because it runs along the interstates. It's 35 minutes from downtown Northampton to downtown Springfield.
So you were telling me about one of the books was talking about in Manhattan, how if everyone who lived there drove a car, how much space that would take up?
It was actually talking about how many people commute into the city. Okay. And, you know, this is pre-pandemic numbers, but it was 2.4 million. And if everyone tried to drive into the city, if 2.4 million people tried to drive into the city, into the island of Manhattan, you would need hundreds of lanes of bridges. And you would also, the pavement, if you made those all into surface parking lots, it would cover the entire island. And so the geometry is really what makes transit important in terms of, like, you can't have a city that's that dense mm-hmm. without transit. You know, you have to have the subways and the buses, and just in order geometrically to fit and move that many people. And have them be able to stay somewhere and not have to park a car because of how much space that takes up. Mm-hmm. So you were asking me about, like, in terms of moving, you know, how many people fit on a bus and how many people fit in a private automobile. I mean, a bus is the equivalent of maybe two or three private automobiles in terms of the space that it takes mm-hmm. up on the street. Yeah. But it can carry... They're often like 40 people sitting and then another, you know, many, many people standing. So there's, it's just geometrically so, and all those people don't have to park somewhere.
Yeah.
So then you have a city that does not need all these parking lots and can actually be even that much closer together. And when people are close together, they interact in all of these ways mm-hmm. that really cause a lot of positive economic benefits, and as well as artistic and and other kinds of connections.
Mm-hmm. A week or two ago, I was on a critical mass kind of bike ride in Northampton. And there was a few times, so there was only about 15 of us, and there were a few times that some motorists seemed impatient. But I was thinking, like, so we took up I don't know how much space we took up. I guess we took up as much space as a couple cars. But like if the 15 of us were each in our own vehicle and we were in like 15 cars spread out along Pleasant Street or Conn Street or whatever, I bet people wouldn't think twice. But because we were all clustered, they're like,
right, yes.
So what do you think about Florence, downtown Florence? There's so much of downtown Florence is parking lots. This is your city councilor in your ward for this. This is your city councilor for this ward. Good thing I'm not in politics because I can't talk straight. Or maybe it would be a good fit. I don't know. Anyway, so what's your ideas for how we can, here in Florence where we live, move away from having our downtown dominated by parking lots?
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing we can do is to share our parking lots better. And that's one of the city's goals is to create more shared lots and ones where, because the residential use and the commercial use are often opposite to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And so you can have people who generally park at night and then go somewhere during the day.
Yeah.
And then that space is available for commercial use. And if you have, you know, if it's shared, then that there's that much more, much less worry about filling up one particular lot. So that's definitely an advantage. But when people live, and there's data on this in general in cities, and I know in downtown Northampton, when people live in places where they're able to meet their needs without a car, where they can walk to the grocery stores and the hardware stores and the bank and post office and restaurants, etc., then they will often choose that.
Mm-hmm.
And we can encourage, and we've done this with our recent adoption of the form-based code for downtown Florence and downtown Northampton, we are encouraging more multifamily buildings and not requiring a lot of parking for them. And so even if we can get the people who would otherwise be, say, a two-car household to be a one-car household and instead use public transportation and use the other methods that are available, like we have great bike path and multi-use trail, rather, are able to meet their needs here in Florence, that's going to reduce that. But it's something you have, it's going to, I think, come in incremental approaches, in that you need the people living here to support the businesses, and then the businesses that people can walk to are there, and then more people would want to live here, etc. So it's not going to happen overnight, and the demand, the need for more frequent bus service we're not going to get more frequent bus service until there's more people living here who can utilize that.
Yeah. So you don't have a car. When's the last time you had a car?
Oh, I never owned a car. In the 90s, I used one of my parents' cars a bunch.
And you're able to meet all your needs.
Oh, definitely. Very occasionally we'll borrow or rent a car. We rented a car to go up to Maine, and we had a packed car of five people, and we drove up to Maine and drove back and returned the car. And it's quite a feeling of freedom to drop that car off, and you never have to worry about it again. And it was a really nice car too, and it got incredible gas mileage. So it just seems like the perfect way to experience a car is to have it for a short period of time and have it be really nice, and then you're done.
Yeah. You also have a couple of kids in your life who like enjoy cars and being driven places. How do you navigate that?
Yeah, well, certainly sometimes borrowing a car to bring them someplace is kind of a nice way to connect with them and spend time just in a car going somewhere, or do something special together. I think, though, you know, there's a lot of other options. Like, my stepson has been taking Valley Bike, when it's a real bummer that Valley Bike is not operating this winter, because he would continue to use it. He's been taking Valley Bike to the FRTA bus to go to Greenfield, to go to Greenfield Community College 2 days a week. So he's managed to figure out, you know, getting where he needs to go, using, he has an e-bike as well, and it's pretty easy to get around if you're willing to take the time to walk in Northampton, or, you know, take the bus or ride a bike.
Thanks, Alex.
That was my housemate and Fifth Ward City Councilor, Alex Jarrett, and also a co-pedal person and bus rider. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Every time I listen to Alex talk, I'm like, what a nice guy. So non-judgmental, unlike me, very opinionated. Well, it's a good thing I live with him. Maybe some of the wisdom can wear off on me. I have one more interview. This is with Nancy Luce, another housemate.
All right, so I'm here with another housemate, Nancy Luce. And Nancy, have you done anything this week so far to celebrate the free PVPA buses?
Oh, yes. Well, this week, on Tuesday, I went with my two other of my housemates to from Florence to Hadley. We went to see a movie at Cinemark, and we took the Blue 43, which was very pleasant ride. And but we did park at the parking field.
Sheldon Field.
Sheldon Field, yes. Mm-hmm. And waited for the bus there. It was very convenient. Actually, I think it was the week before, we took the bus from Florence, the whatever number that is.
The R42.
We took it to the Academy of Music in Northampton, and then got on the B43 there, because I was just learning the ropes. And then I came back from Amherst all by myself, mm-hmm. and it worked like a charm. It's easy to get the B43 coming back. Actually, I had done it when I lived in the Amherst area, but not in a long time. And then getting the R42, it worked. It dropped me off right around the corner from where I live.
So are you a regular bus rider?
No, I am not. I'm working on becoming more frequent of a bus driver because I do own a car. And because I have commitments in Amherst that are on at times when the buses really wouldn't be convenient because they wouldn't be running. They wouldn't get me there in time. Mm-hmm. But for other reasons, later in the day, I see the bus as a great way to save money and get a little more exercise and kind of people watch. So I recommend it highly. The buses right now are free, as you have heard, until the end of December. And I, as being a senior, I will look into how to easily ride the bus when it is to be paid for, but for the senior way of doing it, some sort of ID card. I will see how that goes. I mean, especially if I need to get somewhere and it's the weather isn't good. Mm-hmm. I mean, for driving, I'd rather let the bus driver do the driving.
That was Nancy Luce, my housemate in Florence, Massachusetts. Thanks for listening to Out There here on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Out There airs every Friday from 4 until 5, followed by Democracy Now! Up at 5 o'clock. You can hear archived editions of Out There at weatherbeard.com/out there. And there will be Bike Lab tomorrow.
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004.
From 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Vengan al Bike Lab de Northampton, el taller de bicicleta. Aprende a arreglar tu bicicleta y a divertirte.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue. They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is.
Yeah, and my schedule, Bike Lab schedule, it's on the Pedal People website because I won't be here through all of December. That was Angelique Kidjo with Agolo.